From TN Headquarters, this is The Jungle Cast.
Hello, and welcome to The Jungle Cast. Now, today we're going to take a look at the GOP debate, and we have a new segment that we're going to launch off. Now, first, we'll begin with the GOP debate. Now, it was this week on Wednesday on CNN, and the ratings have been pretty strong from what we saw. The 23.1 million Americans tuned in to watch it on CNN on television, and of course, there are people who watched it online and over the radio. It was broadcast on Salem Radio. Online, there was a peak of roughly 920,000 Americans, or people, we don't know if they're all Americans, watching the live stream, and of course, people watching from Salem. So there's roughly, or there's over 24 million people. Now, the GOP debate ratings were the highest ever for CNN, and it was cracked the top 10 of all cable broadcasts. However, it came in at number 10. Number 9 was Fox News' GOP debate from a month ago. So as we're seeing, the GOP debates continue to be very strong rating draws for the cable networks. And of course, the next debate is on CNBC, so they could be should have some very strong debates as well. Now, getting to the actual debate, there were two debates. CNN, just like Fox News, had the JV debate, undercard debate, kiddie table debate, whatever you want to call it, of the lower tier candidates earlier in the day. They held it at 6 o'clock or 6:15 to be specific. And then from 8:15 to 11:15 for 3 hours was the main primetime debate of the top candidates. The main debate had 11 candidates on stage, which originally they were only supposed to have 10, or roughly around 10. However, they changed the rules, CNN, a while back to pretty much allow Carly Fiorina to get into the debate. Because CNN, what their plan was to take an average of polls from July to September. And the thought would be that there'd be pretty much an equal amount of debates or polls from before the debate and after. However, what we saw was that only about 5 polls that would be counted by CNN were released after the debate. And in those polls, Carly Fiorina experienced quite a bit of a bump. However, because there's so many fewer polls, they were skewed towards the pre-debate, and Carly Fiorina originally would not have gone in. However, CNN then said, if you got in the top 10 in a poll after the debate, you'd be included, which basically served to only bring in Carly Fiorina, bringing up to 11. There is the same 10 as the Fox News debate, plus Carly Fiorina. The undercard debate was fairly similar to the Fox News, except there was no Carly Fiorina because she's in the primetime debate. Rick Perry was not involved because he has since dropped out. And Jim Gilmore did not meet a high enough poll standing to be included. So he was not invited, and there was only 4 candidates in the undercard debate. Of the undercard debate, Lindsey Graham was widely seen as the winner. He shined with a performance that included humor and sometimes self-deprecating, sometimes making fun of others, and being light about it. He was also very quick, and going along with the humor, very witty. The one line that has kind of been seen from that, or heard repeatedly from that, is when asked how America would be different under him, he said, "We would drink more." One person on Twitter already added that to, or photoshopped that onto a hat, just as Donald Trump has his slogan, "Make America Great Again," on his hat that he wears to the campaign trail. In the undercard debate, or the main debate, excuse me, the winner is a little more mixed. Carly Fiorina, by most, has been seen by the winner. Her online polls, which of course can be a little bit skewed because they're not scientific and they're whoever votes decides. So it takes a certain person to get in. And of course, certain websites have different kind of readership, so that skews the polls. But online, Donald Trump is being seen as doing very well. However, many are also saying that Carly Fiorina had one of the strongest performances with 2 breakout moments. One with a response to the Planned Parenthood question, and 2 with a response to Donald Trump, where she used his own words from that debate, that very debate, against him. Because when he was arguing with Jeb Bush about women's health, Jeb Bush had made a little bit of a gaffe when saying that they should cut funding for women's health issues. Donald Trump, when Jeb Bush tried to clarify that and say he meant for abortion, Donald Trump said, "I heard you very clearly. You said women's health issues." Carly Fiorina later on said, "Well, just as Donald Trump heard Jeb Bush very clearly, I heard him very clearly when he insulted my face. And women all over America understood him clearly when he did that." The Fiorina campaign has been doing pretty well with Trump's remark, where they turned the soundbite into a campaign ad featuring all sorts of American women. Of course, the debate, clocking in at 3 hours, going from 8:15 to 11:15, has been gaining a little bit of gaining a good deal of attention. Of course, that also happens when you have 23 million viewers. There is going to be quite a bit of impact from it. One of the first polls was actually released on Friday, one of the first polls from after the debate, or if not the first poll, in New Hampshire shows Carly Fiorina overtaking Donald Trump in New Hampshire. Of course, we'll have to see whether or not this poll is just a fluke or if it is actually more of a trend, because Donald Trump has always done exceptionally well in New Hampshire, even before he announced a presidential run. So that's always been a strong state for him. So it'd be fascinating to see if he's starting to show some cracks there. Ben Carson, his performance was received differently by various people. Some praised his soft-spoken style, while many people said that that very style caused him to, or his quiet nature caused him to not really be able to break out, to not have any shiny moments, and therefore not differentiating themselves. That quiet remark was also added to Mike Huckabee and Scott Walker, with several people joking online that they forgot Mike Huckabee was even in the debate. Now, Mike Huckabee, for his part, when he was asked about the amount of questions, or lack thereof, that he got, he claimed it was because CNN was angry at him for having a Fox News show that beat CNN in the ratings. Scott Walker, he too had his performance was criticized. In the first debate, going into the first debate, he was a national leader and the clear leader in Iowa. However, in his first debate performance, he was pretty flat. He didn't attack many people, and he didn't really shine or differentiate himself. Going into this debate, he really needed to do something to get momentum back on his side, because national polling showed him right now at the bottom. A national poll showed him at 2% nationally, definitely far down from when he was in double digits. Instead of a forceful debate performance where he said that he was going to be more aggressive, it was largely more of the same from his first debate when he didn't pull too many punches. Of course, that is in contrast to Donald Trump, whose debate performance, like we said, has been praised by those who like him, but others say that he didn't really do all that great. Because the way CNN ran this debate, or should we say Jake Tapper worded the questions to promote actual debate rather than having kind of like a mass interview. He would word it so that it would encourage and invite the arguments. He would go to one candidate and say, "Candidate Y said this about you. Candidate X, how do you respond?" And then that would cause the arguments back and forth. So for the first hour, that worked really well for Donald Trump, because everyone was basically arguing with him, and he sucked up all the oxygen, as he is known to do. However, the one problem that many people saw was that because they got into more policy specifics, many people felt that he did not show a quality grasp of the issues, which could hurt him coming up. However, so for the first hour, he was all over the television, and if he wasn't talking, he was being shown on the split screen. Second hour, he wasn't really heard from that much. And then the third hour, he came back quite a bit, especially when Jake Tapper asked, in one of the more lighthearted questions, what their Secret Service code name would be, which led to one of the most memorable exchanges, as Jeb Bush said, "Ever ready," and then mentioned how the batteries are high energy, Donald. Donald Trump responded with a high, by giving the former Florida governor a high five. And then Donald Trump, when he was asked, he said humble to laughs from all around the location. It was actually held in the library, so we're just trying the right word to use. Laughter from all over the library. Now, one of the other questions that gained attention was also one of the lighthearted questions, where the candidates were asked what woman they would put on the $10 bill, as the Secretary or the Department of Treasury has announced plans to do so. Many said their wives. Some made the point of saying, we would keep the $10 bill, but changed and said the $20 bill, which was actually the original intention of the put a female on the money movement, was to actually do on the $20 bill and remove Andrew Jackson, not the $10 bill. Now, Jeb Bush, he was getting some flack for his answer because he said Margaret Thatcher, who's a British prime minister, although she was a British prime minister who worked very closely with Ronald Reagan and Jeb Bush's father, George H.W. Bush. Now, he was not the only one to say a person who was not an American. John Kasich said Mother Teresa. Now, coming up, we have a new segment. We're going to be looking at presidential politics almost like a fantasy league, saying who's up, who's down, and who's staying the same. But coming up. So first, before we get to presidential fantasy, there is one dynamic at play here that comes into the fantasy ratings. After the debate, most of the coverage focused on how Carly Fiorina did very well, and Donald Trump didn't. However, that narrative quickly ended as something new came into the headlines. When Donald Trump was holding a rally and a speech, they turned to questions, and one guy came up and had a comment that eventually became a question. So let's take a listen.
All right, let's start with this group right over here. Come on. Okay, this man, I like this guy.
I want from White Plains. Amen. Okay. We have a problem in this country. It's called Muslims. We know our current president is one. Right. You know he's not even an American.
We need this
first
question.
Certificate,
this
man.
First
but anyway, we have training camps growing where they want to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. When can we get rid of
them? We're going to be looking at a lot of different things. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are saying that bad things are happening out there. We're going to be looking at that and plenty of other things. Okay, go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I definitely got to ask you a good veteran question. Welcome, first of all, to New Hampshire. Donald, last night was a disgrace. CNN did not touch on any of the issues that are going on with veterans' health care.
It's true.
Women veterans' health care.
That's true. I actually asked him about that. There wasn't one question relating to the veterans. That's true.
So as we see there, Donald Trump was kind of asked this kind of odd question by a person at the rally. And what comes of this, or first, I guess we should clarify, that the guy talking was wrong on several points. A, President Obama was born in the United States, and B, he's not a Muslim. He is a practicing Christian who has gone to church several times in Washington, D.C. And of course, people such as CNN's Don Lemon have brought up and said, even if President Obama was a Muslim, what would it matter? He is allowed to be one. So let's focus on the dynamics of this, because as we said, after the debate, the conversation was about how Donald Trump didn't do well and Fiorina was. Afterwards, the conversation said changed to Trump and the crazy guy, or the person who asked the question. In the view or the eyes of the Trump campaign, that may actually be a net positive, because it has gone from talking about his poor debate performance to instead his interaction with a voter. Or one way of looking at it is, we went from talking about how well Fiorina did to not talking about Fiorina. The attention, once again, was on Donald Trump. Now, how this has been compared to is, there is kind of some history with this, Republican candidates being asked a similar question by voters. In 2008, John McCain was asked this by a woman, and he shut her down. He took the microphone, said she was wrong, said that President, or then Senator Obama, despite having disagreements with him, Senator Obama was still a good guy, a good American. In 2012, however, Mitt Romney was asked that a similar question, and he kind of just let the question go, and then he just kind of moved on. His response was criticized because he didn't live up to or match John McCain's response. Instead, he kind of just acknowledged it. He didn't push back or anything like that or correct the person. He just kind of let it go as if it was true. And now with Donald Trump, what we're seeing is he didn't say it was false. And then he kind of took it a step further and said, yeah, we'll look into stuff like that, like getting rid of all the Muslims out of America. So, and with his response, then it became Donald Trump is asked odd question by voter to Donald Trump is asked odd question by voter and gives puzzling response. So that may act, that could harm the Trump campaign. Although, with the Trump campaign, there's been numerous times that political pundits and analysts have said that something will harm him and it ends up not harming him. So it's possible that it could have no impact. Although, perception, or with the perception and the coverage, it has shifted the conversation away pretty quickly from the debate. Now, let's move on to the fantasy. So every week, or at least we'll try every week, we may take off a week here and there. What we're going to do is go around and talk about the presidential candidates, who had a good week, who had a bad week, who stayed the same. We won't do every presidential candidate every week. Sometimes we may include a few. Sometimes we'll leave out one if they didn't really have a big week. But then what we'll do is we'll say who had a good week, who had a bad week, lay out some kind of reasoning based upon that, and then it's you, the viewer, can chime in. You can tweet us at TKNNPOLJungle. Tell us who you think had a good week, who had a bad week. If we said something and you disagree with it, tweet us. Let us know. We love hearing your comments. We may even include them in the podcast. So let's start off. Okay, so let's begin. Now, we'll start off with Hillary Clinton because she's really the only Democrat we'll be talking about this week. Thanks to the debate, it's going to be pretty Republican-heavy. But Clinton had a kind of average to good week. It started off well thanks to the Republican debate. She was able to attack the debate and the candidates as an extension by saying it lacks substance and kind of depth. And she used that to appeal to her base, and by throwing the red meat. And by attacking Republicans, she appealed to independents and said they're all kind of crazy and insane, and they don't have policy. But here, look, I have policy. However, that good news for her, that positive, was for her was kind of trumped, pun possibly intentional, because of her handling of two questions that came up in an interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer the following day. During the Republican debate, Clinton was brought up numerous times by almost all candidates, if not all. Now, one of those who really brought her up a lot was Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina, even on Stump, brings up Hillary Clinton quite a bit. But Carly Fiorina, when she was answering the question about Planned Parenthood, directly mentioned Hillary Clinton. And when Hillary Clinton was asked about it the next day by Wolf, she kind of fumbled on it and seemed like she wasn't prepared for that question. And then during the debate, Fiorina said, the way to stump a Democrat is to ask them what Hillary Clinton's accomplishment is as Secretary of State. When Hillary Clinton was asked about that, she really gave a non-answer and kind of pivoted around, and then Wolf pressed her on it, trying to get an answer. She basically said, read my book. That's where the answer will be. So that kind of hurt her with her poor handling of those questions. Trump kind of remains to be seen with what this week will have. Those, as we said with the debate kind of wrap up, there are those who said he did, if you like him, you thought he did well. And if you didn't like him, it was just yet another reason to see why you didn't like him. So from that standpoint, it kind of remained average. But this interaction with a voter certainly was not something the campaign was probably looking for after the debate performance. Now, Carly Fiorina, on the other hand, her political stock is up quite a bit. After a very strong first debate performance, she had an even stronger debate performance in the second one, and because she was now in the primetime debate, it was seen by a wider audience. So, and like we said, a pullout in New Hampshire, where she's been focusing a lot of her time, has her in first. What we had to see is whether or not she'll actually kind of stunt Carson's growth, because previously we saw Carson starting to rise all around, taking on Trump, and now it's possible that Fiorina may have just kind of taken over for him. What we have to really see, and we'll need many more polls to prove this, is during the 2012 debate, or the 2012 campaign season, there's always the monthly anti-Mitt, the candidate who kind of rose and then eventually fell to try to be the conservative alternative to Mitt Romney. And what we saw was at the beginning and the end of that kind of monthly cycle, there'd be a candidate that would start to rise, just as the other one was either staying the same and then eventually would fall. And it, for a while, it kind of looked like that with Ben Carson, where he was rising as Donald Trump was staying the same or even falling a little bit. And so some were kind of wondering, was Donald Trump's period over? Was his, the summer of Trump, as has been called, now ending? But, of course, with Carson not doing so well, as we'll talk about a little bit later, that's may not be a possibility. Or, I guess it is still technically a possibility. But now Fiorina may be the one that starts to take the momentum and maybe even grabs the lead in New Hampshire and possibly even Iowa, and definitely improves nationally as we get more polls over the coming weeks. Chris Christie also had an impactful debate, and he's been, and his stock is up. Chris Christie going into the debate needed to be heard. In the first debate, he wasn't really heard at all, or heard much, and we mean on a very literal level. The his campaign has kind of been marked by struggles with not really having an area to really find as its own, not being able to find a base. Because his brand is, A, being outspoken, but that's been kind of, and that blunt talk has been kind of dominated by Donald Trump. And, excuse us. And if you look at his policies and his record, he'd be more moderate, and that's been kind of taken over by Jeb Bush and maybe Marco Rubio. Although the governor says that he's a conservative governor, but that's been also kind of taken over, or that field is dominated by Ted Cruz and other conservatives. So he's kind of struggled to find a base of supporters. He's focused a lot of his time in New Hampshire. However, in New Hampshire, that's also where Carly Fiorina spent most of her time, where John Kasich, another moderate to conservative governor, spent a lot of his time, where Jeb Bush has spent a lot of his time. So really hard for Chris Christie to break out. And for this one, he came and he brought the straight-talking fireworks. When Fiorina and Trump were going back and forth about their business records, Christie jumped in and said, "Congratulations, you're both successful people. But guess what? The American people don't care. The American people want to hear about their careers, not yours." He was often pushing himself in, getting into the conversation, making sure he was heard. So he had a good week. Now Rand Paul, who was, I guess you could call Chris Christie's arch rival when it comes to his GOP debates, did not have the stellar debate performance. He came off kind of again as silent and sometimes angry during the debates, and his performance was, well, if it wasn't being criticized, it certainly was not being praised. So that shows some difficulties for him, and his stock, as a result, is down. Carson, depends on kind of who you ask. Many people thought he did fine. Others say he didn't make enough, a good enough showing. So they're saying he kind of an average to down week, as a result. Of course, if we didn't have a debate, we would have been saying he's having a good week due to those poll results. That's why we kind of put him in the average with the overall. Huckabee, down, because many people forgot he was there. He wasn't really heard. Walker, similarly. Walker didn't start off the week so great, with polls showing him in the low single digits nationally. And so that really raised the bar for him going to the debate. And he was not able to show that or hit that bar with a performance that wasn't exactly inspiring or forceful. And finally, we go to Lindsey Graham, whose stock is up this week. He had the strong performance in the JV debate, which Carly Fiorina showed could have an impact nationally and in state polls. Whether or not it will be enough for him to actually break out of that, we'll have to see, because he has been focusing most of his time on South Carolina, which is his home state. He's also been spending some time in New Hampshire. New Hampshire, where many candidates of similar vein to him, or similar policy-wise, are going after him, or going after that vote. So whether or not he can actually break away there, or even nationally, remains to be seen. And of course, we are down to 16 or 15 candidates, depending on whether or not you count Jim Gilmore. And so Rick Perry's voters will go somewhere. However, it's not many to break up, as he was around 0.8%. But of course, the field could completely reshuffle. People can move around. We'll have to see where all these candidates line up in the next national polls, and then we'll have some more to talk about with their political stock. We hope you enjoyed the segment of the presidential fantasy politics. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us your views on the candidates, how their weeks were. Tweet us on that. We always love hearing it. Of course, now this unfortunately wraps up another edition of the Jungle Cast. Be sure to tune in every week on the Jungle Cast to hear the latest political news, interviews if we've got them, and now the presidential politics fantasy forecast and talk. Be sure to tweet us any kind of comments or questions to TKNNPOLJungle. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Pocket Casts, and pretty much or almost anywhere you can get podcasts, we should be there. And if we're not there, tweet us and we'll try to get on there, or we'll get on there. So that way you are able to listen. But until then, for TKNN, I'm Tyler, wishing you good news and a good night.